even though I made it a joyful experience when Hoosiers gave me one of the honors of my life and elected me senator, I'm glad I don't have the 420 airplane trips back and forth now that I'm governor. So you're going to also see me out and about a lot as governor, just like I did as senator. I will continue to visit all 92 counties, and I got about close to half of them done already this year.
Welcome to the Voices of Freedom podcast, where we sit down with the voices behind the scenes at Freedom 95.
Hey, Randy, how you doing?
Hey, great, Governor Braun. How are you doing this afternoon?
No complaints.
You've had a wonderful month of May that we just got done with, haven't you?
Well, it's been quite a journey, and getting session behind us was one thing, and got a lot done, and yeah, we're not letting up.
Well, I know also on a fun note, obviously having the month of May here in Indianapolis, that's awesome, especially being out at the track and all the pageantry that went along with it.
You know, that was a lot of fun, and the part I enjoyed most would have been the Friday evening when my buddy from Jasper brings his 77 GMC motorhome that doesn't have a ton of miles on it and is a kind of a sight to see, and it's parked right there in the Legion Post 500's parking lot right next to Georgetown Road. So my wife was with me. I did it last year on a Thursday when I was running for governor, and how so many people came in there to look at the RV and then said, is that the senator there in the lawn chair? They said yes, and that was an unbelievable campaign evening. And then we went into the Legion this Friday, and that was one of the best campaign stops, and heck, I'm not even running. And then we walked down Georgetown to Dawson's restaurant in the Speedway Village, and that was 4 hours to where I really could see what the 500 meant to Hoosiers and all the expats that live across the country that used to be from Indiana that come back for the race. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, there was rumors, too, I heard of Doug Bowles being out there in the Coke lot late into the wee hours as well this year. So I don't think you were the only one. I'm glad that you showed your human side there. I think a lot of times people don't get to see that.
Well, that's true, and those are the moments that this job's a lot of fun to be in.
I also saw that you hosted the GEC this week, and then recently here I saw that the Pacers bet, the gauntlet has been laid out. Has the Oklahoma governor responded yet?
Not yet, because he's probably, first of all, got to come up with a meal that would trump my offer. And then, sadly, I don't get the points. I just have to have the underdogs actually win. So,
oh, gosh, that's a little difficult. I don't think Vegas would go for that. But
oh, no.
Well, jumping right into it, Governor Braun, why don't you go ahead and update us, you know, on your top priority, making Indiana healthy again?
You know, that was an interesting topic because when you're the first state in the country that gets the USDA to sign off on a waiver that removes sugary drinks and candy from SNAP benefits, that was the noteworthy part of it. Of course, the N in SNAP, is for nutrition, you know, and I thought it was important that, especially where we're spending state funds, taxpayer dollars, that we don't do it irresponsibly. And I published an op-ed with the Hoosier Egg today on this very topic and how we can actually make Indiana healthy again. And a lot of it was done on what I did many years ago in my own insurance plan to keep it to where we weren't constantly having high costs based upon expensive remediation. I reoriented it to a plan of wellness and prevention and tried to create healthcare consumers out of my employees. So I knew it could work. And here it was neat to be on the leading edge of, you know, make America healthy again. I was proud when they looked to Indiana to come here and showcase that, if you recall, here back a month or two ago. And then to get that first waiver, I thought that meant a lot, sets the stage for what we intend to do here in our own state.
I was shocked to find out that soda was the number one purchase with the SNAP benefits. I was blown away.
Well, and that's why I think this made a lot of sense to many Hoosiers.
And fitness is a prime part of my life, and I know, too, that's going to be implemented as well. And how do we see that kind of working its way into the schools through the programs?
Well, that's going to kind of spread throughout state government. Of course, the biggest part of state government is K through 12 education, but we got a big healthcare plan. So I wanted to, on the policy silos that dictate how our state is run, imagine all these agencies, probably close to 70 or 80 in total, being run with an organizational chart where you had all of them reporting through one individual. And in the past, that would have been the chief of staff. So restructuring the government into a state cabinet structure on the executive side, you can't believe how much easier it's been to get things done, even in a short period of time, to make it quicker, smoother, more effective. I'm going to pay attention to everything I learn due to the fact that now we got a government that's going to be responsive not only to the employees that work in these agencies that have good ideas, but when I ran on accessibility as one of my main campaign features along with transparency, I did those same kinds of things in running my own business over 37 years. You can't believe how much you can get done, and you don't need to hire consultants to do it. So reorganize the executive side. It's already getting praise across the state and across the country. We're going to run with it, and I'm going to have an entrepreneurial team of folks that are running these policy silos that have real-world experience in the private sector and know their way around government as well. So I think it bodes well for anyone that interacts with our state government and its agencies.
Boy, I agree completely, and that leads me into my next question about the government efficiency. What is, outside of what you just spoke about, the office done to achieve the goal of making government operate more efficiently, and what are you looking for in the future?
So what I'm looking for in the future, beyond what I just described, was that we set a template here that not only for state government, but even that our local governments and school districts look to. You know, when I asked for property tax relief, if you remember, we had a lot of blowback from local governments and school districts. And I said, hey, we're going to set the example in our own state here of how you do more with less, which is what you do in any business. And I want to make sure that this kind of spreads throughout our state, even in places where we don't have direct impact, where citizens will have to deal with their own local governments and school boards. And that's where government really needs to run efficiently. And we kind of had to weigh in with property taxes. You know, that was the number one issue. And I think we got to a good place of saying that, hey, taxpayers were overburdened. In many cases, you were trying to grow government faster than what the taxpayer could afford, and that you better start looking at how you're going to run things efficiently. This new cabinet structure, the new way we're setting a new culture in our own state government, I hope that the rest of what governs here in our state, meaning at the local level, takes note as well.
The thing that I find most exciting is the fact that the speed at which you've done it, is that going to be the same availability to these local governments and kind of the local, you know, authorities that you're speaking to? Are they going to be able to move at the same warp speed that you were able to?
Well, they're going to have the political gumption, number one. They're going to have, I think, people within their own jurisdictions showing up at the school board meetings and the city and county council meetings, commissioners talking about something, be engaged. And I think they need to hear it. And most of them are aware that there's only, you got to remember, when an economy grows robustly, it very seldom hits 3%. So you got to make sure that you're not treating government in a way different from what dictates the home growth in your pocketbook or your businesses. And I think there's going to be increasing awareness of it. I'm going to keep promoting it, and I'm going to lead by setting a good example, showing how we can provide better service and run our state government more efficiently.
The best way to do it, leading by example. Well, I know school is out for the summer, but your work on education continues. Now, what is your administration doing to improve education in our state?
Well, let's look at the two components of it. On K through 12, we're going to be out there very pleased with the new diplomas that we've got that are more honest with parents. There are several pathways to be successful. One is to get the proper skills and maybe work experience along with apprenticeships for those probably close to 150,000 jobs now that many businesses need to fill that don't require any education beyond high school, and get those skills in high school to avoid the debt that you might have with a misguided college degree where half of them don't complete. Make sure on post-secondary that we're actually providing degrees that we need here in our own Hoosier marketplace, and that would be more STEM degrees. A lot of degrees that we do produce don't have a market here in Indiana among businesses. Then you're kind of exported out of state to find a job, or more sadly, maybe back into the basement because you want to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure we're guiding kids and parents with them being in the driver's seat clearly, and giving them all the material and information. What are those high demand, high wage jobs? And does it make more sense to enlist, enroll, or jump into the workplace? And my goal is to make sure education is aligned with what's in the best interest of kids and parents. And again, parents being the main stakeholders for their own kids' education.
I also really loved when I read about the Honors Plus Readiness Seals, that I know a lot of my nieces and nephews were just almost nervous to the fact, are they going to get into these schools? And the fact that that takes a lot of that weight off their shoulders to begin with is just outstanding.
And I think that finally we're having an honest discussion with higher education, with teachers, and with guidance counselors on there need to be honest options with honest information about how much am I going to make if I pursue this pathway, how much additional education will it take, and what will it cost, and make sure you're starting to talk to kids when they're in middle school and early into high school so that they pick the right pathway when they need to make that decision.
Amen. Well said. Well, lastly, this is kind of off the cuff, but what is something that the public might not know about that you're excited about?
Well, I'm excited about the fact that even though I made it a joyful experience when Hoosiers gave me one of the honors of my life and elected me senator, I'm glad I don't have the 420 airplane trips back and forth now that I'm governor. So you're going to also see me out and about a lot as governor, just like I did as a senator. I will continue to visit all 92 counties, and I got about close to half of them done already this year.
Wow.
And just like when I was a senator, any Hoosier can come visit me generally on Fridays if you arrange it ahead of time in my hometown of Jasper. And I'm going to be working for what I ran on. Principles of faith, family, and community, kind of at the local general point of view politically, and then the freedom and opportunity agenda that I laid out is off to a good start, and I'll put a lot of time and energy into it.
Well, we're certainly pleased, and we're so grateful for your time, Governor, and anything that we can do, obviously we support you 100%, and I thank you once again for your time, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Good talking to you.
Thanks, Governor.
You've been listening to the Voices of Freedom podcast on Freedom 95. For an audio archive, visit the podcast tab at freedom95.us.